Welcome to Healthy by Choice, a broadcast designed to bring powerful healing into your life today. Gaining and maintaining optimum health is possible at any age. That's what thousands are learning at CHIP, the Complete Health Improvement Program offered across the country and around the world. You can learn more at chiphealth.com. But now, get ready to enjoy some proven results and priceless benefits. I'm your Healthy by Choice host, Charles Mills. Do you love soda? If you're like millions of people around the world, you have to say yes. Do you like gaining weight? If you're like millions of people around the world, you have to say not so much. That's why you drink diet soda, right? Problem solved, right? Let's talk with CHIP founder Dr. Hans Diehl about soda, diet, and the truth. Dr. Diehl, what do we need to know?
Boy, I tell you, we all thought we had licked the problem of calories while not sacrificing taste that we enjoy with our soft drinks.
Yes.
And so we thought we had it solved by discovering the calorie-free diet drinks, right?
Right.
That was the answer. You have the taste without the calories. Mm-hmm. That was it, right?
Guilt-free drinking.
Yeah, and then somehow things have changed a little bit. Well, let me just first talk to you briefly about the soft drink situation. Of course, what is a soft drink? Well, it's a glass of water plus 8 to 10, 12 teaspoons of sugar, mix in a dose of chemicals, and you got a soft drink, right?
Oh, man.
Kids drown in soft drinks today. Soda pop has become their main beverage. The average teenager today consumes 2 to 3 cans a day. Mm-hmm. That's at least, you know, America, right?
Yes.
And so the American average consumer, which takes in about 30 teaspoons of sugar a day, I mean, that's what we consume across the board. You can just see that soda pop provides the majority of the sugar in the American diet, and it comes from the soft drinks.
But we need liquid, Dr. Diehl. You talk about we need 8 to 10 glasses of liquid a day. Aren't we fulfilling that requirement right there?
Well, we could have 8 to 10 glasses of wine.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so no, when we talk about the body needs liquid, we're talking about water.
Okay.
Because the body is about 70% water, and water is the elixir. Water to the body is just like oil to the car engine. Mm. It lubricates everything. We need it. Yes, you're absolutely right. But, you know, we thought we had solved the problem by giving people a calorie-free, zero calories, soft drink. You know, got the taste, but no calories. And we thought that was the answer. And then we ran into some problems.
Now, these problems that we run into, why are we not hearing about these problems? Why is this not put on the label of each soft drink can?
Well, part of it has to do with the fact that some of the evidence has been growing more and more strongly in the last few years. The other thing is that what we're discovering today is totally, it seems, irrational. It's counterintuitive because here, after all, we have removed the calories. We have removed 150 calories per can of soft drink, and we thought this is now the answer, and all of a sudden, and we found, here's a good point. We actually found that in some of these studies, that, for instance, in the Boston's Children's Study, they found that overweight teens did very well switching from sugar-laden drinks to zero-calorie options, such as diet soda. So they did very well. They stopped gaining weight, and we said, yes, indeed, that's what we expected. That is intuitive. Mm-hmm. You remove the calories, you lose weight. And then the problems began to accumulate more and more and more because now another school emerged. The first one was a case in favor of artificially sweetened drinks because it apparently helped overweight girls. But now we have a case against soda pop, and that is the dietary soda pop, and we're going to talk about that today.
You know, when we think we have the answer, we have to realize, Dr. Diehl, that we're still messing around with nature. We're still dealing outside of the norm that God had in mind for us, that creation brought into our lives, that is nature in action. Every time we do this, every time we try to mess with nature, the results do not come out in our favor. And it seems like that's where you're heading with this thing.
Yeah, we were trying to trick the system and it didn't work.
Yes.
Let me just give you some of the research that has come out in the last few years. I just go through very systematically because it is something we need to really discuss because it's so counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. It flies into the face of what we expected. Here's the San Antonio Heart Study. They took some 1,250 men and women, and they were followed for 25 years, and they found that the risk of weight gain and obesity were much greater in those consuming the diet soda compared to those who did not.
Wow.
So they found the more diet soda, the more likely they became overweight. Now, isn't that interesting?
The more diet soda, the more overweight. Now, what is going on?
Well, actually, just to come back to this, on the average for each diet soft drink the study subjects consumed per day, the risk for becoming overweight increased by 65% over an eight-year period. So this is the San Antonio study, which really gave us some concern. Then you have another study with 5,000 men and women, and this is now a multi-ethnic study. And they found that the soda consumption was linked significantly to increased risk of type 2 diabetes. Mm. Now, this is the diet soda consumption rate. Mm-hmm. We're talking about now diet soda, no calories there, and yet it increased not only the risk of overweight, but also the risk now of type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, it increased what we call the triglycerides. These are the blood fat levels, and they're associated with heart disease. So what we're now saying here from this study of 5,000 men and women, it appears that the consumption of diet soda may actually increase the risk for type 2 diabetes, for overweight, and for possibly heart disease. Shocking, isn't it?
That is more than shocking. This is, like you say, counterintuitive. We're supposed to be protecting ourselves by doing this. What other pieces of information you want to share with us today on this subject? This is incredible.
Well, yeah. The American Journal of Clinical Nutrition just published an article in the February 2013 issue. And this is sometimes now referred to as the French study. This is a 14-year study of 66,000 women. And they were followed for 14 years, and they found that diet drinks may be worse than sugar-sweetened drinks. And they found the sugar-sweetened drinks to be worse than the freshly squeezed fruit juices.
Yes.
That makes sense, right?
Yes, yeah, it does.
Right?
It does, yes.
But here's some of the things that they found. They found, number one, the diet sodas increased the risk of diabetes more than the sugar-sweetened sodas, which, again, is rather surprising.
That is strange.
Number two, the women, when offered a choice between diet or regular soda, preferred the diet soda, okay? But it also caused them to drink twice as many cans of soda that was sweetened with artificial sweeteners. Again, you see, you probably figure, well, there are no calories in here, so I probably can drink more of those.
Right,
that's
right.
One reason. The other reason is that the artificial sweetener is about 100 to 1,000 times more sweet than sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might set up perhaps some addictive patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just making a rational choice, well, there are no calories in here, so therefore I can take more of those. No, it may also be the addictive nature of the artificial sweetener. So that's point number two. Point number three, here's what they did. So obviously the women in the study consume more diet soda regular, right?
Right.
So then they did some statistical adjustments, and they said, okay, let's see what happens when we take people that use equal amounts of diet and equal amounts of regular soda, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here's what they found. The diabetic risk was much higher for the women who took the light or diet drinks when compared to the regular soda. As a matter of fact, the risk was 59% greater for the consumption of 4 cans of diet soda per week than when compared to people who took 4 cans of regular soda. So there is something here that is most unusual, isn't it?
There certainly is, and like you say, it's counterintuitive. We thought we were on the right track. We are discovering otherwise. Now, Are you going to help us here understand why this is happening? Because a lot of people right now have a diet soda in their hand and they're looking at it kind of sideways saying, well, what is happening to me here? What am I doing to myself?
Well, you know, first, let me just go a bit deeper yet to really make my case. When they looked at these women in this French study, they thought, well, maybe the people that were overweight, you know, and when you're overweight, you're on the verge oftentimes of diabetes.
Yes.
Maybe they switched to diet soda because they were overweight and they were already on the verge of diabetes, and that's why they have diabetes. Okay. Well, so the researchers then adjusted this for body weight. And so they said it was not a matter of being overweight when they began and used the diet soda. So they made those adjustments, and no question about this, artificial sweeteners increased the diabetes independent of the body weight. So regardless of the body weight, there is something in artificial sweeteners that increase the diabetes. And of course, then you have several studies, actually two major studies at Harvard. They looked at 40,000 health professionals. This is sometimes referred to as the physician's health study. And here they again found that the risk for type 2 diabetes, you know, the adult onset diabetes.
Yes.
The risk for type 2 diabetes doubled for the heaviest diet soda drinkers. I mean, again. And then you have the Harvard study looking at 88,000 nurses. And guess what they found here? They found that just one artificially sweetened beverage per day, just one, increased the risk of type 2 diabetes.
Just one.
Yeah.
We're playing with fire here, Dr. Deal. This is not something to be taken lightly. If just one increases the risk of type 2 diabetes, just one, and that's in an adult, I mean, for our kids, what is it doing to them? We have to ask that question. What on earth are we doing to our children by feeding them this stuff?
Yeah, you see, you can actually set up these teenagers for maturity onset diabetes at a much younger age.
Yes.
You know, we used to think of diabetes something that happens when you're 50, 60 years of age. Of course, all of that has changed with the obesity epidemic now, and now we're seeing people at, you know, 30 and 20 and 15. And now we begin to realize that maybe the diet sodas could possibly make a contribution to the diabetes tsunami that's sweeping over our country. Here's another study looking now maybe at older people, right?
Yes.
We talked about teenagers. Mm-hmm. What about older people? And what does it do to them? So they want to lose weight, so they switch from regular sodas to diet sodas, right?
Right.
We're saving 150 calories per can, right? So here this study has 474 diet soda drinkers. They followed them for 10 years. And these people are in the 65 to 74 age range. And here's what they found. They found that in the diet soda drinkers, in comparison to those that were non-drinkers of, you know, diet sodas, the waist, you know, the belt line grew by 70%. And then they found out that those who drank two sodas, that is diet sodas, or more a day, busted their belt sizes five times more than those who avoided diet soda. So somehow it doesn't really add up, does it?
It does not. Well, Dr. Deal, we need to take a break right now. When we come back, you better have some answers for us. You are knocking this drink out of our hand, and you better tell us why, because we that believe in the CHIP program and we that want to be healthy, we want to know not only that it's a problem for us, but why it's a problem and what we can do about it. And we'll talk about that with Dr. Hans Deal on our return, so everybody stay right where you are.
That I was living a healthy lifestyle, but I was starting to have a few problems that I attributed to aging. I did not consider myself obese, but I had gained 40 pounds over a period of about 25 years. My cholesterol was raising, my blood pressure was beginning to creep up, I was on medication, a series of medications for lowering my cholesterol. But the condition that affected my lifestyle the most was the osteoarthritis in my knees. I had very limited mobility and limited range of motion, constant pain, and this was affecting the interaction with my grandchildren. When I first began making changes through the CHIP program, pounds began to melt off right away. Inflammation and other symptoms of my osteoarthritis in my knees just disappeared. I was able to eliminate medication that I was taking for cholesterol. I felt so much better, had so much energy, and I truly believe I was healthier than I was in my 40s. CHIP has given me a second chance for an active life and a long life. I'm really looking forward to being an active part of my grandchildren's lives as they grow, and I've chosen to be healthy for the rest of my life.
Are you ready to be healthy for the rest of your life? Visit chiphealth.com to begin your journey. Welcome back to the program. I'm Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. Hans Diehl of the CHIP program, and we're talking about something that is very irrational. It doesn't make sense. When we are gaining weight by drinking sodas, we switch to the diet soda, out go the calories, but guess what? Study after study after study is showing that the problem still exists. As a matter of fact, it exists worse. Now, Dr. Diehl, you've been giving us a lot of studies. Do you have some other things you want to cap off here that will just really sell this to us?
Well, I don't really want to sell anything. I just want to appeal to something that is becoming more and more now sort of rational,
yes,
while it appears on the surface as being something irrational, something we did not expect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after all, out go the calories and in come the problems.
Yes.
I mean, that doesn't really make sense, but maybe it does. Well, here are some ideas that people in the last few years, as the evidence has been growing that diet pop is not really safe, have come up with. And that is, you know, there's the idea that it has to do with a mindset.
Hmm.
It has to do with a reward mentality. It goes like this. You know, I'm no longer using my beloved regular soda drink. I'm sacrificing what I love, and I'm settling for calorie zero soft drinks where I use now artificial sweeteners.
What a good person I am for doing that, yeah.
Yeah, what a good person. I mean, I'm sacrificing all of this. Look, I'm so good, I'm no longer doing this, and so therefore, you know, I'm now entitled to have my triple cheeseburger with a diet drink, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
It didn't make sense, right?
Yes.
And because I've been so good, you know, I can now do a little bit on the other side.
Yeah.
I can do a little bit of cheating. It's perfectly all right. I mean, look, I'm rewarding myself. And there's a little bit of self-righteousness perhaps there. Look, it's almost, you know, I mean, it's normal, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm giving up these 150 calories. No, I can have a few more calories from maybe I can have these chocolate-covered almonds. You know, maybe I can have, you know, I mean, that's a normal thing. So it could be a mindset problem.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the reward mentality, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so that then perhaps may lead to taking in more than the 150 calories that we saved by switching towards the diet soft drink.
Mm-hmm.
And we pick it up from other foods. That's why I give you that example with the triple cheeseburger.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Well, okay, we want to reward ourselves. That makes sense. I like that. I'm doing something. I'm sacrificing. I want to help myself here. That is not a bad thing. We should reward ourselves. We should say, hey, good for me. And then we should give ourselves a little reward because no one else is going to do it. I mean, no one else is going to reward
us.
We have to do it. But apparently you're saying that the tools we're using to reward ourselves are part of the problem.
Yeah, because the tools may be more than the 150 calories saved,
yeah,
by switching to the diet,
okay,
soft drink,
okay,
right?
Got it.
Or, you know, most people actually drink more diet drinks,
yes,
than if they would have had regular drinks.
Yes,
because,
yes,
after all, they feel they're safer now, right?
Yes, yes.
So, and besides, it's that addictive aspect of the artificial sweetener, which may be 100 to 100,000 times more sweet than the original, you know, sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So now we need to shift perhaps gears. We've talked about the mindset problem. We've talked about the reward mentality that perhaps kicks in, maybe subconsciously and sometimes maybe purposefully. Now we need to take another look, and we need to begin to look at some other aspects. And that is, in the French study, they found that the aspartame, that's the artificial sweetener that's very commonly used in these soft drinks, that aspartame can actually increase the blood sugar levels.
There is no aspartame plant out there. This is not something that is harvested off of a field. Am I right?
That's correct. No,
okay.
That's a chemical.
All right. Okay. It's a chemical. All right. Let's call a spade a spader. This is a chemical we put in our food. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Now, we have known from animal studies, for instance, when we use mice, we give these mice either an aspartame-enriched diet or we give them a regular diet without any aspartame, we know that it increases the blood sugar in mice. Okay, we have known this. Now we also seem to know that the same thing happens in humans. So aspartame, these sweeteners, have apparently a tendency to increase the blood sugar levels, and therefore it can increase the need for insulin. Because the higher the blood sugar, the more insulin is being kicked out, and this then helps in promoting overweight.
Yes. And I can see where you're going with this thing with diabetes, too. I mean, we're dumping insulin into our bodies in copious amounts.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, and whenever you have an overweight problem, you always seem to also increase the likelihood of diabetes coming along. You know, they're just sort of like cousins.
Yes.
They're intertwined. And so we now can see that the aspartame sweetener indeed can increase the blood sugar levels, then can also influence the body weight and also, of course, the diabetes.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's reasonably well established now. There's another thing, however, and that is when people's brain get used to artificial sweeteners, somehow it affects the brain chemistry differently. They talk about that the brain chemistry is being hijacked. It doesn't quite give the same responses. And they talk now about that it has to do with releasing hormones. It's a pretty complicated mechanism that people are beginning to work on. So suffice it to say that artificial sweeteners have an effect on the brain that is not fully understood yet, but it seems to hijack the brain's functions properly and thereby apparently creates the overweight, the diabetes, and also the cardiac risk in people.
Huh. You got my attention right there. When we drink a aspartame sweetened beverage, we're messing with our hormone balance in our body? We're messing with that level of problem in our bodies, our hormones?
Yeah, it's difficult
wow.
to really fully understand.
Wow.
People are working on these kind of problems, but it seems that the brain feels tricked.
Yes.
And as it feels tricked, it doesn't respond in the proper way anymore, and therefore the desire for more food is
yes.
intensified.
Yes.
And as you eat more, you have more calories. As you have more calories, you also have to worry about diabetes, and you have to worry about, you know, coronary heart disease.
Now, you've been very scientific here, Dr. Deal, with us. You're telling us study after study and giving us proof here. I want to have some answers. What are we supposed to do, Dr. Deal, when we are thirsty for that nice, sweet cola drink that we thought was so good for us? Should we go back to the sugared one? Is that the answer?
Well, you know, they found that naturally squeezed fresh fruit juices seem to be doing okay. They don't even have the same response, so that would be one way to do it. But again, you know, there may be too many calories there concentrated. But, you know, let me just sort of go back to the diet drinks, right? I mean, what you have here is you have a lot of chemicals. You have water, and you have chemicals such as artificial sweeteners. You have chemicals added for color, for flavor, for preservatives, and for many, many other reasons. And, you know, it's these chemicals that can irritate the delicate lining of the stomach. And especially if they contain phosphoric acid, they may actually contribute to osteoporosis. Some require the kidneys and liver to detoxify and dispose of these chemicals. And you know something? You know, water doesn't have these problems. There are no calories, no irritants, fewer chemicals to threaten delicate body machinery. And you know, water is readily available and it's cheap.
Well, Dr. Deal, I hear you. Water is fine and I love water as much as the next guy when I'm thirsty. But you know what? I got to say, water is boring compared to that sweet drink and that grape flavor and that cola flavor and all that sparkly stuff. Water is boring. How do I get past the boringness of water, Dr. Deal?
I know you're right. I have no simple answer for that, but I know that we can retrain our taste buds. Number one. Number two, I know that you can sometimes perhaps enjoy some lemon or lime squeezed into it. You can have mineral water that has a little bit of bubbliness there. Can have some natural teas. You can get water in different ways. You can have some of these newer non-caffeinated coffees, cereal coffees, and so on. So there are various choices that we actually have, but in general, we recommend 8 glasses of water in its different ways a day, and that's exactly what the body needs to carry out all of its life processes. Remember, no calories, no diabetes, no extra weight.
That's what it comes down to. We need to make a decision here. We need to grow up, I think is the word I hear you saying. We need to grow up as health-conscious adults to say, okay, I am going to be healthy, and here are some of the tools I'm going to use to be healthy. I'm going to drink water as opposed to cola, as opposed to diet cola. I'm going to bypass all kinds of diseases if I do that. I'm going to be a man or be a woman, and I'm going to take care of myself no matter what my appetite, no matter what my habits, no matter what my tongue is screaming at me to do. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, you can change habits. It takes a lot of time, especially if you're in the right association with people.
Yeah.
You can do it. It just takes a little bit of energy initially to get that sort of a flywheel effect going, but ultimately it becomes a new habit, and it's nothing really to it. Just remember, water is to the body what oil is to the car engine. It's the magic lubricant that makes everything else work. Water. 8 glasses a day.
That is something that each one of us needs to take to heart starting this very day, Dr. Deal. I really appreciate that. I want to invite you, listener, to the website chiphealth.com. There you will find all kinds of information, including studies like the ones Dr. Deal has been talking about here and some videos to watch. And also at that website, you can discover if a CHIP program is coming into your area, and you can find information about that and how you can be involved in a CHIP program. I recommend that you do that because it's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to take charge of our health. It's time for us to start enjoying those priceless benefits that CHIP offers, that health offers. Also, if you would like to hear a certain subject talked about on this program, we have an email address for you to send. That's Healthy by Choice, the name of this program, Healthy by Choice, at chiphealth.com. You can say, hey, Dr. Deal, hey, Charles, we'd love to have you talk about this or that, or here's a situation I'm facing and I need some help. Would you please do a program on that subject? And we will take that in consideration, and we will certainly build programs around your needs, because that's what we're here for. We're here to make you healthy. That's Healthy by Choice at chiphealth.com. Dr. Deal, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm going to go drink a glass of water. I just can't help myself. I'm going to go get one right now. And listener, always a pleasure to have you with us. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Hans Deal, inviting you to be healthy by choice. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about Healthy by Choice, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651. You can also email us through our website at 3abn.org.